God in heaven, now we just thank you for these tithes and offerings and gifts. Ask you, O Lord, to bless it, use it, and multiply it for thy purpose and for thy plan and for thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, I guess we're going to start off today with the text from John 14:6. The name of the message is Understanding John chapter 14, verse 6. And the Bible says in John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We know in this world there are many ways. People say there are many paths to heaven. People say there are many roads. You can get there by just being good, or you can get there by being, you know, of a higher intellect, or just by buying your way into heaven. There are many cults and many false religions, false apostles, false prophets, false people of all persuasions and nature. We know that there are those that would come to deceive you on every level. We know that this world is truly empty and lost without Jesus when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, the other day, or yesterday as a matter of fact, I had gone to a health store in the country out here, and the Lord just kind of prompted me to go for a bit of a drive and just kind of to clear my head. I needed to think, and I just felt like I just needed that time to drive and think and just be with God. And I came across this Catholic church, and behind that Catholic church was this huge graveyard. And I just sat there and I scratched my head in wonderment and I said, you know, isn't that the way it is? These false religions leaving the dead in their wake. And in fact, today there is the walking dead, those that are lost even while they yet live and breathe the air. And yet Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father except they go through me. We know that in this world is chaos and confusion of every kind and sort. You know, I was just reading the other day how that a mother who had gotten so tired of her children arguing with her, well, she pulled out a .38 caliber pistol and shot her son in the head twice as they were driving home. And then she went up to her daughter's room and shot her twice in the head. And she just sat in her bloody robe on the front steps of her home. And when the police arrived, she just said, well, I just got tired of my kids mouthing off to me. Well, that takes it to a whole nother level, don't it? Where's the peace? Where's the joy? You know, there's a town in Lancaster, California, who decided that they wanted to broadcast the noises of birds throughout the town so that people would be happy again. You know, it's kind of funny how that we know that there's no true joy or happiness outside of Jesus, but you see, this is the way of the world, and the world wants you to feel happy and joy just by being happy and joyful. Maybe some birds will do the trick, you know, and maybe a little music and a little food and wine and, you know, I'm just going to be so happy because of that. No, we know that that's not where the joy of God is. We know that the joy reigns in the hearts of men and women everywhere, those who trust in him. We know that there's strife and war and rumors of war everywhere we go today. the Egyptian deal over there, that all that strife and chaos and uproar and upheaval and anarchy going on in the streets of Egypt right now, and raising the barrels of oil to, I think it's like $100 a barrel now it's been raised to, but yet we have no need to be there with their oil. We have over 2 trillion gallons of oil underneath the Rockies in this country. Over 4 billion gallons over in North Dakota. Enough to last over 2,000 years. 2,230-something, I believe it was. But we know that there's no answers with men's vain philosophies and with men's arrogant manners, ways, means of doing things, thinking that we can do all things without God's help. That's not where the answers are. But the answer always begins when we put our trust, our hope, and our faith in Jesus Christ. There are many pathways that they say that there is to God, but you know, the true meaning is a road. It's a pathway. The word way is a journey, a direction, a manner of course of life, the tree of life. It's the way of Jesus. The world's way of thinking, the devil's way of thinking, and the flesh's way of thinking will only bring you chaos. You know, in Hebrew, it's interpreted this way, Aleph, Tav, Derek, it's Hashieni, Hashiem, or interpreted, Aleph, Tav, Way, Tree of Life. Aleph is the first letter of the Hebrew, I just wrote this down, it's the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet. Tav is the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The first and the last letters in Greek alphabet are Alpha and Omega. Revelations 1:8, it says, I am Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Amen. Genesis 3:24 says, So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of east of the Eden cherubims with a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. How important is it to guard your heart today? How important is it to mind the manner of the feet where you walk, where you let your heart contemplate the matters of life? We know that your mind, when you think of things, it begins in the mind, and the devil uses that as his playground. That's why we need to be very careful what we allow in our hearts, in our minds, so that we don't let the devil run roughshod over our life. We have to stand guard over that, place a guard with the help of the Holy Ghost to filter out every wicked and evil thought that would lead us astray, because once it's in our mind and we play with it, it multiplies itself and it wants to get into our hearts. Into our heart, when it comes in there, then we begin to act on it. See, we want to be very, 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 very careful what we allow in our hearts. Hebrews 14:12 says, There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There is a way of life and there's a way of death. And in Exodus chapter 18, 20, 21 says, And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. In verse 21 it says, Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds and rulers of fifties and tens. What is the right way? What kind of men? These are men that fear God and are full of wisdom. that fear God, which is the beginning of wisdom. Men who are stable, honest, and reliable, not given over to the lust of this world, the greed, the flesh, the ways that lead to death. But there is always a right way. God has given us that through His mercy. Deuteronomy, I want to go to Deuteronomy chapter 5. 5:31-33. Deuteronomy. I love the Old Testament. It parallels so well with the New. The Bible, you know, it's the whole counsel of the Word of God. To be balanced, we ought to use the whole counsel of the Word. 31-33, and it says here, "But as for thee, stand thou here by me, and I will speak unto thee all the commandments, and the statutes, and the judgments, which thou shalt teach them." So in other words, we don't want to listen to people that would teach us the false way. We don't want itchy ears either. That we would just listen to those who would teach us only things that tickle the ears. That teach us that it's okay, I'm okay, you're okay, all is well, you know. Like the military, they have this thing about the gays, no tell, no see, law. Well, it's still there, but that's politics for you. They don't get to the root of the problem. They just pretend it's not there, and that's not true. In our life, we must live the same way by that standard of giving our life completely to Jesus, rooting out all evil. We can't pretend it's not there, because if we do, we're not dealing with that. We're not fighting against it then. We've compromised. We've given way to the devil. We can't do that. Not in our life. Not if we want to make it. Not when we stand before God on that day, on that great day. When the whole world will stand before God on that great judgment day, well, there'll be standing room only for sure. And they all stand and you won't hear a pin drop. As God, with His flaming sword, His robes of righteousness, pure white, will stand before us with eyes of flames. And He will separate the sheep from the goats. While we're on this earth, we're given a choice, and we're given an allotted time to do what's right while we still have that in us. While we still have the light, while we still have time to seek after God, there is a right way and there is a wrong way. Which thou shalt teach them, that they may do them in the land which I give them to possess it. Ye shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. In other words, what that is saying, it is a narrow way. The road to heaven is a narrow way, but it's a difficult way. It's also the right way. It's also the road that leads to life. That great pearl of price that we know is Jesus Christ. We know that there's a place in the Word of God that talks about searching for that lost treasure in the field. There's a way, but the only way that we can take that is going to make a difference in our life is going to be the narrow way. That means we have to be careful how we live. We must be careful how we dress. We must be careful the example we set for others in our personal life. Who we are in private is who we are. I know that many people will say it's okay to compromise a little here and a little there, and you know, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. We know that there's only one way, and that way that leads to righteousness by faith is the narrow road. Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. Amen. That it may be well with you. It's a command that the Lord is giving us. But they rebelled. In Deuteronomy, I was just there. I want to go to 30. Deuteronomy 30, 15 through 20. 15 through 20. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, and thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not bear, or thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. In other words, that is the lust. The heart is wicked above all else. Who can know it, the Bible says. And the lust therein, all those compromises that sit there. That's why we have to be careful what we allow in our minds that goes down into our heart. Because at that point, when it hits that heart, there comes a road, a fork in the road that we have to choose. What way are we going to walk? What are we going to do and what are we going to say? And if in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways. You see, what that's saying is, if you love the Lord your God, you're going to walk in a way of obedience. The Bible says that if you love me, you will obey my commandments. And to keep the commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. The Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if in thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. These other gods can be many things, can't they? These other gods are idols that we set up in our hearts. These idol gods, which are made of wood, clay, that are going to be burned, utterly burned and destroyed on that day. They can't neither see nor hear nor help you. And why do men waste their whole life searching to try to cause this thing in vain to hear them when they can't hear nor see or even think? When there's only one God, only one true God who knows all things and yet he is ignored. Now, is that not insanity? Is that not foolishness? Wow. And I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land which whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. And I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Isn't God gracious? Isn't God so kind and thoughtful towards us, that he regards us, that he would think of us in that way and warn us. That's true love. He's trying to show us the way, but yet we are given a choice, aren't we? That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. How many of us cleave unto God today? Oh, that road, that broad road to hell is slippery and wide, isn't it? So full of the rudiments of the world, alluring all the temptations. But we must cleave to God through all of that. Like little children cleaving to their parents, to their hands, to their bosom, that they may not be lost or destroyed. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, to give them. Amen. So we must choose life over death and choose good over evil. That is the right way. Matthew chapter 6:24 says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise." Did you see that word? Despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. How many of you have been despised? You know what that feels like. Are your loyalties divided? Are they clouded? Are you confused? God says, choose life. Choose the right road, the right way, the way that leadeth you unto life eternal. There is no searching in God's understanding. He knows the beginning from the end. There is no confusion there. He's not the author of confusion. But we make things confusing in our own lives by the choices we make. Matthew 17:13-14 says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate." It reminds me of Paul in this street called Straight, where he was blinded. But before he could see, he had to be blinded, that he might see things anew. But here it says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." You know, on that day, like, I remember Pastor talking about this many times, and how that he would allude to the fact that most of the people that you see in this world today will probably not be there. They probably will not make it. Narrow is the road that leads to life, and very few there be that find it. Are we going to be numbered among those few? God's way is narrow, but it is difficult. But it will prove to be the only thing that matters on that great day. Jesus is the way, the straight way, the narrow way. In Acts 14:22, it says, "Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." Even back then, many have faltered at how difficult it must have been. Trouble on every side, temptations. We know that it was no different really back in those days as it is today. That they too had their struggles, they had their temptations. They had too to make choices as well. Just as we do today. It's no different. Matthew chapter 3, 10 and 12 says, "And now also the axe is laid into the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water and unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." What does that mean? The fire of tribulations and struggles in your life to bring you through as refined gold and silver. It says, "Whose fan is in his hand?" So he knows how to bring the heat higher or lower in your life. He's in control of your life. He has everything under control, no matter what you're going through now. But he has the fan in his hand. He knows what you can take and what you can't, at what levels. He is a gracious God, not willing that any should perish. But he knows he won't take you to the place beyond your ability to escape temptation. He always makes a way out if we will just learn to listen and hear and understand. "Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner." That's called the threshing floor. The threshing floor is where they used to winnow the wheat from the chaff. The chaff would just blow into the wind as light stubble would. Useless. No good. Good for nothing. But the wheat would fall to the ground there, as we must. The way up is the way down. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. There are consequences involved here now for not bearing fruit. Baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire of tribulations. Threshing floor to winnow out the chaff and to destroy it. These are issues in our life that we must remember. These are issues that we know as Christians we must go through. We will be tried by fire. We will be purged from these things that's called chaff. The Lord will separate good from evil in our life. That means he will want you and I to separate ourselves too from the wickedness of this world. To separate ourselves from those things that draw us away from God. To separate ourselves in such a manner that we be pleasing in his sight. The Lord is looking for people like that, who are the Joshuas and the Calebs of this world, who will find a way and say, "Lord, we can do it. We can go and we can conquer and slay those giants in our lives." Are you there? God's people should expect to have tribulations and trials. It's a part, and it's the part of the lot that we are given as Christians to be purged, that we might be found worthy, cleaned, cleansed. Matthew 10, 38, 39 says, "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." The way of Jesus is the way of the cross. When you lose your life and all its rudiments, you find everlasting life. Jude, verse 3, says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. There is one Lord, there is one faith, there is one baptism. Fight for sound doctrine, true doctrine." According to Ephesians chapter 4:4-6, it says, "There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. God's way is to contend for the faith. Stay true. Stay faithful. Obedient. Fight the good fight with patience. Run the race. Don't give up." Ephesians chapter 6 says, "For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." I remember, oh boy, this is a wicked thing. You know, when we give ourselves over to the ways of the devil and we think we're doing good, only evil can come from that. I remember I used to go to this one church, and this one pastor, it was a kind of a charismaniac type church. The pastor was practicing trying to take demons out of people, trying to expel them out of people. So I remember the day that he jumped off the podium and onto this one, I think he was like a 16-year-old boy, and he grabbed his hair and he started banging his head against the floor. "Come out of him." He kept yelling, "Come out of him, you devil, come out of him." Banging his head against the floor, and I was sitting there and I was just like, is this God's way? I was a brand new Christian. That was the same church where the daughter of this couple started saying bad and evil things about me and would try to malign my character and lie about me and say all manner of evil for no good reason. I didn't know them. They didn't know me. I was a brand new Christian. These are the kinds of things that happen in a place where wickedness dwells, even in high places, in heavenly places, where the devil is in charge, not God. If they were ruled by the Spirit of God, there would be peace and joy and meekness and love and long-suffering, patience, kindness, all those things. There's a good way and there's a bad way. There's a right way, there's a wrong way. And that was completely inappropriate as I look back now. Being a Christian requires that we would have eyes to see, ears to hear, and truly a heart to understand these kinds of things so that we don't get caught up in them. So we don't become confused and caught up in the rat race called life. We do live, as Pastor once said, in a panopticon. We live in a world that is polluted. They are polluting the water, the food, the air that we breathe. And it's going to require dedication, resilience on our part, a tenacity to never give up. We must fight. If we don't fight and we give in, we're doomed. We're doomed already, even by thinking that. In Luke 9:23 it says, "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." What does that mean? That means putting your hands to the plow and not looking back. That means being bold, strong, and courageous. Don't be ashamed of the Lord, because on that day, he'll be ashamed of you. We must be careful how we live, what we think, what we say, how we act. Matthew 22:11-14 says, "And when the king came to see the guest, he saw there was a man which had not on a wedding garment." How did he get there? "And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, and not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless." In other words, he came up another way. There's only one door, and that's through Jesus Christ. The world is constantly seeking for another way, writing books and having these huge seminars and all these psychologists trying to explain away the gospel, telling you there's a better way. You can do this, it's okay. You can go here, you'll still get to heaven. If you do this, it's okay. They pet sin. They love sin. They love compromise, because they don't want to go God's way. They don't want to die to the sin, to the flesh, and to the world. "Then said the king to the servant, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." Wow, that says a lot right there, don't it? That means we need to constantly check our spiritual condition to make sure we're walking in the way. We must always check, look in the mirror to make sure that we are living in such a manner that we are not living in compromise, or we're not being deceived, that we understand true doctrine, that we understand the right way. Because again, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but there in the end is death. It's compromise. It's the wrong way, completely. The wrong way. I remember, well, here it says Matthew 7:14. "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it," it says. The devil will try to keep you any way but the right way. And that is the truth. He will keep you any way he can to keep you off the right track. Any way he can get there, he can get you off of that through any kind of manner, any kind of temptation through your mind. He'll use computers, TVs. He'll use music. He'll use other people, circumstances, things, and situations in your life to get you off the right way. The pressures in this life, financial pressures, peer pressures, pressures to satisfy people and not God. That's the way of the devil. That's what he wants. Those tricks are the same tricks he's used since the days of Adam and Eve, when he questioned Eve in the garden. And he always used it with a question, didn't he? He comes at us the same way, to cause you to doubt God's word, to take away your faith. And so when we fall into that disobedience, that hurts our faith. We begin to wane and to pine away. We begin to drift because we don't believe anymore. We don't trust. We don't have faith. That's a trick of the devil. That's why we must consistently guard our hearts against the wiles of the enemy. The Bible says that we are not to be ignorant of the wiles of the devil, that we are to know them, to know who is among us. The Bible says to know those who labor among you. We ought to know who we are as brothers and sisters in Christ. We ought to get to know one another, to prove each other, to help each other, encourage one another, strengthen each other in the faith. That when one goes astray, we can help. We can, with a hand outheld, outstretched arm and hand, we can help that person. We can encourage that person not to take that wrong road. But it's up to every one of us. We all must play a part and take responsibility for our own lives. But the choices we make and the decisions that we make every day, we need to take ownership of our actions, our feelings, our thoughts, our words, our deeds. Acts 24:14 says, "But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers." This is Paul talking. "Believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. Woe unto them that call good evil and evil good." That's what Paul's talking about. He was not ashamed of the gospel, of the peer pressure, of all the publicans and all the Pharisees and all these people. He stood fast to the word of God in his life. He didn't give up. In Romans 2, 7 and 8, it says here, "To them who be patient, continuance in well-doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life." Are we doing that? It says in verse 8, "But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath." Those who are not spiritual, those who do not give their lives completely over to the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Ghost, are going to be apt and subject to unrighteousness. They're going to give in to their own wrath, to their own understanding, to their own indignation, calling it good. No. That's not God's way, I promise. And the Bible says the truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And here in truth, in Hebrew, it says Aleph. Aleph is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Mem. Aleph, Mem, Tav. Mem is the middle letter. Tav is the last letter. The whole truth is everything from the beginning, middle, and the end. Truth truly means firmness, faithfulness, reliability, sureness, stability, continuance, and true doctrine. That is truth. Jesus is all of that. Here I wrote down a thing with Andrew Murray. He was a pastor in the early 1900s. It says here, the four truths, before I proceed with scripture here, I wanted to write this down, and I thought it was rather interesting. He's a South African pastor, and he once faced a terrible crisis. Gathering himself into his study, he sat a long while, quietly, prayerfully, thoughtfully. His mind flew at last to his Lord Jesus, and picking up his pen, he wrote these words in his journal. He said, "First, he brought me here. It is by his will that I am in this strait place." Strait means difficult. In that fact, I will rest, he said here. Next, he will keep me here in his love and give me grace to behave as his child. Number three, then he will make the trial a blessing, teaching me the lessons he intends me to learn and working in me the grace he means to bestow. Last, in his good time, he can bring me out again. How and when he knows, let me say I am here by God's appointment, his keeping, his training, and his time. I thought that was rather insightful about a man who in South Africa was a pastor there and going through difficult times, that he had the wherewithal to sit down, contemplate, think about, and understand his situation by writing that down. We too must do the same thing oftentimes when we sit there and oftentimes we're confused and we need to gather ourselves together. We need to have that wherewithal within us and just trust God, knowing that, Lord, this is the situation. I'm here. Lay it all out. God will help you. God will show you. He will lead you in the way that is right, true, and good, and give you that fresh perspective in every situation. He'll help you. In John chapter 1, 1 and 2, it says, you know, Jesus, by the way, is the Word of God. You know that. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And in 14 it says here, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. All things consist by Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 1, 5 and 6, and then 14, 17 says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. The hope of glory, Jesus is that truth, which is come unto you as it is in all the world and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it, the grace of God in truth. God's word and spirit agree together. In Ephesians 5, 9, it says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and, here's that word again, truth. Read God's word if you want more of his Spirit. That's truth. That's where truth is to be found. In his Spirit and in his word, they agree together. Colossians 1, 14, 17 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. All things we know exist and live in truth, because Jesus is that truth. Jesus is the one that speaks to our hearts truth. In our lives, we are to be that truth too, to others, to people around us, to live and to act accordingly to the Word of God. John 8, 31, 32 says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus, who is all truth, came to set the captives free by the agreement in his written word. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. In Psalm 119, 159, and 160, consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. God's truth is the rock of his word. We can learn and trust and find refuge there in his word, in his spirit. True stability and sure foundation is found in the word of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Unless God touches you, we could never receive or believe. Unless the Lord touches your spirit, your heart, your mind, we could never understand at all. Anything. Anything at all. John 16:13 says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you all things to come. The Holy Ghost will quicken you and reveal himself to you through his word and through his spirit. That's God's way. He will give you keen insight and understanding and a wherewithal and wisdom, grace to know things, grace how to handle and carry yourself in a wicked world where temptation wants to drag you down. But we find our strength in truth, in grace, in mercy, in hope, the hope of glory found in Jesus. Romans chapter 8, 1 and 2 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but in the end is death. So we must not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That is where the truth is. That's where life is. That's where the hope of glory is. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death, it says. In Galatians 5, verse 1, it says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Wow. Well, that's what we're talking about, isn't it? Be patient. Don't give up. Guard your heart. Trust God against all the wiles of the devil and the enemy. He's going to put pressures on you like you've never experienced before in your life. In these end days, he's going to multiply that. He's going to try to entangle you any which way he can. He wants you to be so confused, so given over to confusion, to the flesh, that you just find it very easy to just compromise a little here and there now. And then pretty soon you've given yourself over because you've given place to the devil. You've given place to his voice in your life. So we're to be patient. We're to cast down all those evil thoughts that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. The truth leads us to heaven, doesn't it? Philippians chapter 4, 3 says, and I will entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Those who live by the truth their names will be found written in the book of life. That truth is the obedience of the gospel. Revelation 3:5 says, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." It is possible to have your name blotted out, isn't it? There are people out there who would tell you that once saved, always saved. That's not true. That's false doctrine. That's leading people astray. That's causing people to err in their life. That's causing people to say, it's okay to sin. I'm still going to go to heaven. The problem that we have in this country is a sin problem. In fact, that's a sin problem that prevails through the whole world today. Not just here, but everywhere. Revelation 25 says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." In other words, those are the people who have rejected that truth. They have rejected the way, the truth, and the life. They have rejected Jesus Christ. They have rejected his word and his spirit, who agree together. They've rejected all his precepts, all his laws. They wanted to go another way. They wanted an easy way. But in the end, it was the hard way. The hard way now is going to be the easy way in the end. Hebrews chapter 1, 3 and 4 says, "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they, because, see, by him all things consist. However, there is a great death coming." Romans chapter 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." In other words, we are to choose life over death. Sin causes death and separation. Sin causes us to go astray. And there is a great grave danger in that, because we can sin in such a manner that it is iniquitous in the sight of God. And like Judas, lose out. In Romans chapter 8, 4 through 8, it says, "That righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So when they that are in the flesh cannot please God." So, friends, there is a great sin called rebellion. And it is a sin as of witchcraft, as iniquity and idolatry. So we have to be careful how we allow things into our life. We don't want to be carnally minded, because to be so, or to do so, is to be against God, against his ways, enmity against God. And that's death. It leads to death eternal. In Revelations 21, 6 through 8, it says, "And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. This death is eternal separation from God. From all that is right and good and helpful in your life, rest and peace. All those that go there will no longer feel that kind of peace and rest and joy that we find in Jesus. Because once you go there, there's no coming back. Once you go there, it's all over. Once you go there, there's no second chance. That's why today is a day of salvation, says the Lord. Not tomorrow, because you see, tomorrow never comes. 2 Peter 3:7 says, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. All who have ever lived ungodly will plummet to the depths of hell forever. Those who don't repent, those who reject God's gift of salvation, what hope do they have on that day? When on that day, the only thing that's going to matter is how we lived, what we did. Did we receive Jesus? Did we live for God? Did we obey His word? Did we trust in Him? Did we live godly and holy?" He also gives salvation to those who live godly in Christ Jesus, right? He did, didn't he? In Hebrews 7, 25 and 27, it says, "Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. To such an high priest became us, who is holy and harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens." When you're living for Christ and you're completely surrendered, no devil, no enemy of the cross can snatch you out of his hands. Hebrews 7:27, "Who needeth not daily as these high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's? Of this he did once when he offered up himself. There was no greater sacrifice given to mankind than Jesus Christ." We all know that. In fact, when you think about it, Abraham was about to sacrifice Isaac. But Isaac was not the perfect lamb. Jesus had to be the perfect lamb. That was still under the law back then. John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not but for to kill," or to steal rather, "and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." In other words, we must continually guard our hearts against falling away. The devil knows how to ravage the soul, doesn't he? There are no other paths that can possibly bring us true joy and happiness other than the narrow way. The narrow way that leads to life. First Peter, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren." Unfeigned means truth. It's not pretended. It's true. It's real. The love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Such a person has passed from death to life, because they are born of incorruptible seed at that point. John 5:24-26 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life, it says. Verily, verily. In other words, when Jesus says, verily, verily, it's cemented in. It's a sure thing. It's already a fact. I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Did you see that? Yeah. They that hear, hear, not only with their ears, but with their heart, with their eyes of understanding. And they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. John 17:2-3 says, as thou hast given him power over all flesh. I may not be able to finish today. I'll do the best I can. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That means we have power over everything in the flesh, sin and evil of every kind. Jesus was sent to bring us hope and life eternal. And those who disregard that have no hope. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is only one door, my friends.
That's right.
One name, one plan, one author and one finisher of one faith, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the bread of life, the hope of all glory, isn't he? In John, 1 John 5:11 says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and the life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know and that ye may have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. This is the promise. This is our hope and expectation. This is something that we can lean on and trust. God's word. No man cometh unto me except the Father draw him, and I will raise him up at that last day. In John chapter 6:47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. So we know Jesus is prophetically speaking of his death on the cross at that point, his burial and his resurrection. And it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, But as he hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. The Bible says, if we're not holy, we can't see God's face. There's no way. There's no doorway for us then. But we must be holy. There's a highway of holiness in Isaiah. It talks about there. But we know that man is inherently evil without God's goodness in us. Without God giving us the ability to live right, we can't be holy. So it's a gift. Why don't we just take hold of that gift? Take hold of what God has given us. Romans chapter 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. All have broke the law. When you broke one law, you broke all the laws of God. James, for whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. I know my time's running out here. In John 1:29, it says, the next day John saith, Jesus coming unto him, and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Jesus was that sacrificial lamb who shed his blood for you and me on the cross, for the remissions of all sins. 1 Corinthians 15, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. If we abide in Christ, we too shall obtain the same resurrection unto eternal life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, in Romans it says, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection, to obtain that precious gift, to believe with all your heart, we must repent, confess Jesus, be baptized in Jesus' name. That brings life. Romans 10:9-10 says that if thou shalt with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. As a result, we know that we are born again from above. If you have incorruptible seed abiding in you, and you have confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Your life will then manifest the fruits of the Spirit. And finally, we're going to end right here. Galatians 5:22-23 says, but the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. No more under the law, but under grace are we saved. By fruits ye shall know them, by their fruits. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So you can see that is the way. The way to life eternal is to follow and to believe and trust Jesus Christ when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That is the way. That is the right way. That is John 14:6. And I hope that touched your hearts today as we expounded on these truths a little bit. And I have so much to learn myself. But we trust God every day, every one of us, that the Lord will lead us, take us by the hand, and not forsake us nor leave us at all in wonderment or confusion. because he's a gracious God, willing to help, not willing that any should perish, that we might all one day stand before God justified by faith under the blood. Okay, well, praise God. Why don't we pray? Heavenly Father, O God in heaven, we thank you, O God, for the work done on the cross of Calvary. We thank you for your precious promises, O Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for the way, the truth, and the life that is found in you. We thank you, O God, that we have an opportunity in this life to not only live to glorify your name, but then to benefit from that in life eternal. We know, Lord, that you are the one way, the only way, the narrow way. There is no God but thee. And we don't have to listen to all the confusion and all the riffraff out there in the world. We don't have to give way to the rudiments thereof. We can trust in you, and you help us. And we thank you for it, O God. We thank you for your manifold ways, O God, that you show us love and kindness and truth, grace and mercy, hope. We thank you for it, O God in heaven. And may your name forever be glorified and honored and praised. May we do so with the way we live. May we honor and glorify you in the way that we live this life, proving to be acceptable. Let the meditation of our hearts, the words of our mouth, be acceptable in thy sight, O God. From this day forward and onward and upward, as we go from precept to precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, O God, we know that it is a gradual thing, yes indeed. But Lord, I know that if we keep our eyes on you, if we don't give up, if we endure to the end and run the race and fight the good fight, we too shall get there. And we'll stand before you, O God, justified, cleansed, full of hope and joy, wearing also a white robe of righteousness. Our names written in the book of life with a new name awaiting us. Thank you, O Father God in heaven, for your mercy and your grace and your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.